The date was around 230 AD. The place was the Roman Empire. Alexander, otherwise called Severus, was the last Roman emperor of the Severian dynasty. And as a young ruler who took power at the age of 14, he was generally a prosperous reign. Under the influence of his mother, he did much to improve the morals of the condition of the people. He worked to dispose the luxury and the extravagance that had formerly prevailed and been so prevalent in the court systems. And the standard of the coinage was raised. They actually had real good coins, not cheap ones. Taxes were lightened. Literature, art, and science were encouraged. And for the convenience of the people, loan officers were set up for just a small, moderate rate of interest. So we can thank this guy for interest. Yet when it came to the army, he had a rather different idea of what to do with it. He had a unique way of dealing with one particular legion in his army. He deprived them of their arms and dismissed them from their service. This was probably one of the severest threats that he could use towards them. "I shall no longer style you as soldiers, but as citizens." To be allowed to serve was looked on as an honor. But to be dismissed from duty, to have your armor taken away from you, was a complete and utter disgrace. And last week we started talking about spiritual warfare and how we need to remember that God is in control over everything. And there's nothing that is outside of His control. We can't forget that the devil wants us to fail. He doesn't want us to succeed as Christians. And he goes and he begs God for the opportunity to draw us away. But it is always, always our choice to follow Him or to stand firm with Christ. When we surround ourselves with the belt of truth and cover our hearts with the breastplate of righteousness, that righteousness of Christ, nothing that the devil can hurl at us, nothing that he can come up with in any scheme can cause us harm. Unless God allows it. So this morning we need to learn more about the rest of the armor, because a belt, that helps. And a breastplate, that's all right. But we got to keep moving. We got to keep moving with the third piece, which is the sandals of the gospel of peace. That's right, sandals. In verse 15 of Ephesians 6, it says this: "And with your feet fitted with the readiness that comes from the gospel of peace." Now, unlike the rest of the soldiers of that era, Roman soldiers did not wear heavily armored protecting on their feet. Instead, the Romans' army was successful by implementing a new strategy. They wanted lightweight sandals laced up over their calves. In order to do that, on the bottom side of their sandal, this leather sandal, were little metal studs. They had traction. They had spikes that allowed them firm footing. Their plan was to be one of pushing the enemy. We don't want to be sliding in the dirt. We want firm footing. And it is those little things. The Romans realized that the soldier with the best footing will have the victory. The same is true for us as Christians. The Christian who knows not only what he or she believes, but why they believe it, is going to have a firm, strong foundation. A faith that is dependent upon feelings. I'm sorry, it's going to fail when our emotions die. When we no longer have that feeling that God is with us, and that's where our faith is, it's no good. When we begin to doubt, our footing becomes on poor ground and we falter. But a faith that is based upon truth will stand strong regardless of your circumstances. We as believers must know not only what it takes to receive salvation by faith, but also what it means to live by faith in God. The gospel is not just getting a ticket to heaven, but the good news of God's plan of salvation that includes God's plan for our lives. We have a purpose that has benefits which extend to our daily lives and hope for eternity. Anything short of a Christ-focused lifestyle is going to create a weak foundation, weak footing. And it can't provide you the footing for a victorious and abundant life if you're not focused on Christ. If you're disappointed in God, then you need to fit your feet with the whole gospel. Not just parts of it, but the whole gospel. As ministers, each day, every day, we get the opportunity to go and tell people the good news. That their sins are forgiven, that Jesus loves them. When was the last time you told your coworker, Jesus loves you? We don't do that very often, but we need to. We need to tell them that their sins are forgiven. When you factor Jesus into any situation, you're going to bring peace. Do you believe that you need to take Jesus into your workplace? Do you believe that you need to take Jesus into your home? That you need to take him into your marriage? Into every part of your life? When you go shopping at Polo Park, you need to take Jesus with you. John chapter 14, verse 27 says this, "Peace I leave with you. My peace I give to you. Not as the world gives, do I give you. Let not your heart be troubled. Neither let it be afraid." Let's not lose sight that these are spiritual weapons that we're dealing with. They're enabling us to fight a spiritual war of lies and deceit, of ungodliness and unrighteousness, of wars and fights. These are the tools to destroy Christians. Lies and deceit, ungodliness, immoral activities. This is what the devil uses. But when you take up that fourth piece of armor, which is the shield of faith, in addition, says Paul, to all of this, take up the shield of faith with which you can extinguish all flaming arrows of the evil one. Do you guys know what a Roman soldier's shield looked like? It's a fabulous piece of craftsmanship. It was approximately 4 feet tall and 2 feet wide, kind of like a door. And a soldier stood behind it, fully protected from the fiery arrows of the enemy that approached. And the soldier stood behind it. And to protect themselves, they soaked this lightweight wood with water. And the water made the wood a little bit denser so the arrows couldn't penetrate it. And the water took those flaming arrows and extinguished them. Faith is your shield. If you don't trust God, you will not withstand Satan's attack. If you don't trust in God, you have no hope. A defeated Christian is one who quickly falls away when problems arise. Their focus is on the circumstance and have expectations that may never be fulfilled. When problems come, they just... I'm focused on this circumstance. Whatever it is, I can't get through it. That should never be your focus. Your focus should be on Christ. They expect God to exempt them from the struggles of life. When pain and trials come along, they don't like it. And it's just, God, why are you doing this? Why is it so difficult, God? I don't like this. And so they abandon the battle because they feel that God has failed them because... it's not easy. But if you obey and are prepared by taking on the whole armor and you trust God's complete plan beyond what you can see, you will stand strong and your faith in God and His purposes will quench the devil. It's just whatever He throws at you, it's going to be done. Fiery darts are launched at you and me all the time. The fiery darts of the wicked one come fast and they come furious twice or three. What are we at now? Whatever. They're going to come. Make no doubt about it. The only thing that's going to bat them down is the shield of faith. They can become wicked thoughts, horrible temptations, evil enticements. They weren't launched from the world or from your flesh. They came from the pit of hell. And that's where they're coming from. You might be in church, and this has happened to me. We're in church, we're praising God, and out of nowhere, a thought rushes into my mind about something from the week that annoyed me. That's a fiery dart from the devil, wanting us to be distracted. You become burning with anger or gossip, and you begin to think, oh, I got to go tell this to somebody. This ugly sinfulness that festers in it because we dwell upon it. And we allow that dart to get in at us. 2 Timothy chapter 2, verse 22 says this. Flee also youthful lusts, but pursue righteousness, faith, love, peace with those who call on the Lord out of a pure heart. Run from sin. Get undercover with your brothers and your sisters. When you come to church, you go to a prayer meeting, 6 o'clock tonight, by the way. Hook into a small group Bible study. Start a small group Bible study in your home. Don't run away. Don't run away unless you are running from sin and running to your brothers and sisters in the Lord Jesus Christ. Take the step. Get involved. Join a small group. Start one. Do whatever you can. Watch the faithfulness of the Lord blossom in your life. Put up the shield of faith. Hang on tightly to Him and find those darts bouncing off or being extinguished before they touch you. Then you become grounded in faith, so strong. Heaven help the devil. Because he's never going to have a chance. Use your belt of truth, your breastplate of righteousness, your sandals of peace, your shield of faith, and never forget the helmet of righteousness, or the helmet of salvation. Verse 17, take up the helmet of salvation and the sword of the Spirit, which is the Word of God. The helmet protects our head, which is the mind of the Christian. You know, if it wasn't for my salvation, my relationship with Jesus, this world would really, really bum me out. It's a depressing place. But I have salvation, and I can rejoice in God and the grace that He has given me. To believe in God and to believe that Jesus died for my sins, it's really only half the picture. There must be a point in time when I reach out and I take God's free gift. I got to do more than just believe. I got to take it and make it mine. I must become submissive to Christ. And when I recognize my ways can't make me right before God, but only His ways work, I turn from my own ways and I choose God's way. We need complete surrender. Salvation is not received at the convenience of breaking away from a lifestyle for a time being and then just going back to it when we feel like it. Salvation is complete surrender. I surrender my sinful life in exchange for the righteous life that He has for me. He has prepared it for me. And the lifestyle I choose represents my citizenship. I've changed my citizenship from being a citizen of this planet Earth to a citizen of His kingdom. And if I confess to have faith in Christ and refuse to transfer that citizenship, refuse to go along with His will, then I haven't surrendered anything. I've just said that I did. The final piece of the armor is the sword of the Spirit, which is the Word of God. Take the helmet of salvation, the sword of the Spirit, which is the Word of God, and pray in the Spirit on all occasions, with all kinds of prayers and requests. With this in mind, be alert and always keep on praying for all the saints. God's Word is so powerful in spiritual realms? Let me tell you, if we were to fill our hearts and our minds and our lives with the Word of God so that every area of our life was just saturated with His Word, it would be so strong, nothing could stand against us. This is the only offensive part of the armor. The gospel of Christ advances by the Word of God. The church only becomes weakened when the people abandon the Word of God. When we stop listening to the Word, when we stop looking at the Word and having it affect our lives, we become useless. The problem is that many times we abandon the Word in order to stand for something we feel important. Politics are important. We've got a responsibility to be good stewards. Good stewards of freedom. We've got rights, don't we? God has given us these rights. We need to vote. We need to be involved in our culture. They're great things. But if you are not saturating your life with the Word of God, the battle cannot be won in a political arena. When God's people submit themselves to God, His blessings will follow. The farther we get from the Word, the weaker our faith and our influence on our culture will become. The farther our culture gets from the Word, the more opposed they are to the Word of God. And the Word of God shines on sin. And the greater the sin of the people, the more they don't like that. They are resistant to anything that exposes their sin. The moral failure of our culture is a direct reflection of the power of the church. I'm going to say that again. The moral failure of our culture is a direct reflection on the power of the church. The power of the church is a direct reflection of the spiritual condition of God's people, of us. If we say that the church isn't a powerful place, that nothing really happens there, we're mocking ourselves and our brothers and sisters here, because we don't have that foundation in the Word. Just recently, my wife came home from working in the schools. She relayed a comment to me by a fellow coworker who said, "I wonder how long it will be before we no longer get Easter break. Nobody really celebrates it or believes in it anyways." She objected. She said, "Well, except for you, you're a minister's wife. You have to." Folks, Canada is a pagan nation. When are we going to realize it? We as Christians are a minority. We are no longer the majority. Because we have allowed our swords to be put away, our Bibles sit and gather dust. We don't even bring them to church anymore. If you've got your Bible, lift it up. Look at that. We've got a few of them, but there are so many that I'm glad that we bring them. You know, I used to be fearful that putting the words up there is going to stop people from bringing them. So every once in a while, I swap the versions of what I put up there just so people don't get the wrong idea. Use your Bibles. They are your sword. They are an offensive weapon that God has given us. In Hebrews chapter 4, verse 12, it says, "For the Word of God is living and powerful, sharper than any two-edged sword, piercing even the division of soul and spirit, and of joints and marrow, and a discerner of the thoughts and the intentions of the heart." All throughout the Bible, we're encouraged to be men and women of the Word of God. Psalm chapter 1, "Blessed is the man who walks not in the counsel of the ungodly, nor stands in the path of sinners, nor sits in the seat of the scornful, but his delight is in the law of the Lord, and his law he meditates on day and night." The law is the Word of God. In Psalm 119, "Your word I have hidden in my heart that I might not sin against you." I remember as a little boy being taken to what we called Wee College in Coaldale. And we went to Wee College and we got a Bible and it had verses underlined and we had to memorize them. And this is one of those verses, your word that I have hidden in my heart, that I might not sin against thee. We've forgotten to do that. We've forgotten that we need to take God's word, to read through it, to study it, to memorize it, to share it. The Roman soldiers had other weapons. They had a javelin, but we don't see the javelin of something. This is the only offensive weapon that God gave us. The one that was used for hand-to-hand combat. It's provided by the Spirit. When the church or the Christian used a rotten stick of the culture or the rotten stick of science or theories or traditions or the commands of men, we hold these things up and champion these things, they just crumble before the devil. He laughs at them because he gave them to us. He knows that when we try to use it, it's going to break. But the sword of the Spirit is from God because it is His Spirit. God has promised to bless His Word. Our Lord used this powerful source when He was in the wilderness against the devil. That's all He used. It is written, man shall not live by bread alone. It is worship, it is written, you shall have no other God before me. That is what Christ Himself used against the devil. The sword needs to be unsheathed. It must be. It can't lie there idle, folks. We need to remember that weapon is not necessarily the Bible as a whole, but a specific word that comes to our mind that the Spirit gives us. We don't have to quote the whole thing when we're going into battle. Just know the whole thing. Know how to use it. If you never opened it, you're never going to know how to use it. We as the church have been given a weapon, not merely of defense with an armor, but one to strike back against the powers of the devil. To strike back at with truth when we are personally tempted towards evil. To strike back with truth when the church is attacked by false teachings. To strike back with truth when the power seeks to purvey or to draw us away. When the world around us with philosophies that are full of it. With proclamations that are just garbage. They want to draw us away. They want to pull us away from the church. They don't want us to have that truth, the Word of God. But one thing above all, remember that this weapon of offense is the gospel of peace, of uniting love in Christ. We are fighting the spiritual powers, not human enemies. If we bring out our swords and use them to attack other people, that's not what it was made for. The Bible should never be used to attack someone. The Bible is the gospel of peace and uniting love in Christ. We fight the spiritual battle using the sword of the Spirit, or else it becomes a weapon of darkness, of hostility, of division. Each piece of this armor is put in place by prayer. And this morning, we're going to end off this service in just a moment. And I'm going to pray each piece upon us as a congregation. So let us pray at this time. Our Heavenly Father, gracious and loving Father, we thank You for being our God. We thank You for giving us this armor. And we have come before You as naked Christians who need to be dressed in Your armor. We ask that You would cover us with the breastplate of Your righteousness. We ask that our feet would be fitted with the preparedness of the gospel of peace, that we might push forward your kingdom in this neighborhood. In addition, we ask that you guard our minds with the helmet of salvation and shield us with our faith, a faith that nothing that the devil can throw at us or hurl at us may harm us. And Father, we ask that all of this be held in place by the belt of truth. Surround every area of our lives with your truth. May we know your truth so that we may be able to use the sword of the Spirit, which is your word. May we this day be prepared to stand firm against the powers of darkness. This we ask in the name of your Son, our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ. Amen.